Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are strapping in for what feels like the most intense technological sprint we've seen in years. We're talking about the high-end gaming laptop market of 2025. And this isn't just about small upgrades. This year was a massive sort of fundamental leap forward. It's way beyond just raw GPU speed.
It really is. And our stack of source material, it just confirms this is a whole new silicon arms race. If you think about it, 2024 was defined by AI software, generative art, chatbots, all that. 2025 is definitely the year of AI hardware.
Absolutely. So our mission today is to break down the top five contenders in this space. We want to go past just the benchmark numbers and really get into the engineering trade-offs. We want to help you figure out which specific machine matches your persona, whether you're an FPS fanatic or, say, a digital nomad who needs power on the go.
And we have to start by setting the stage with that huge technological shift. It all centers on the deep integration of specialized silicon. We're talking about neural processing units, or NPUs. Historically, everything just ran through the main CPU or the GPU. Now, these dedicated NPUs are handling all those low priority but constant background tasks.
Right, stuff like video noise cancellation or running local language models on the machine itself. The key benefit here is just efficiency, right? All of that workload is completely offloaded, so the GPU is 100% focused on one thing.
Generating frames,
Exactly.
which is critical because those frames are more demanding than ever. And that leads to the real headline, the thing grabbing all the attention. We're talking about the NVIDIA GeForce RTX 5090 laptop GPU, and crucially, the new GDDR7 memory standard.
Okay, GDDR7 memory. I think most people get that more memory is better, but what does the GDDR7 standard actually unlock for a user?
It's all about the radical increase in bandwidth. Think of it less like a bigger road and more like adding, I don't know, six new lanes to the highway. This faster data access just dramatically cuts down latency when you're streaming textures in these massive open worlds. Our sources are clear on this. This is the tech that finally makes running a game like GTA Vi at 4K 60 FPS a reality on a laptop,
Right.
not a desktop replacement, an actual portable machine.
A portable reality that costs a small fortune, but a reality nonetheless. Okay, so pushing that much power generates just ridiculous amounts of heat. We have to talk about how they handle that. Let's start big. If you prioritize raw performance over everything else, we need to talk about the 18-inch class, the undisputed apex predators of this lineup.
And when you say uncompromising, maximum raw power, you have to start with the absolute king.
The MSI Titan 18HX Pro, this is for the I don't care about weight, I just want power user. The sources, they don't even call it a laptop. They call it a portable command center. It's just
Wow.
unapologetically thick, heavy, and yeah, it gets loud.
And that design is exactly why it stands alone. This machine hits the highest wattage legally allowed for a mobile GPU. We're talking the RTX 5090 running at its max TGP of 175 watts. TGP is total graphics power, and that number means MSI is just letting that GPU run as fast and as long as it possibly can.
But how do they stop it from just melting at that wattage? How does it not instantly throttle?
That's where the massive cooling comes in. It's this enormous vapor chamber system. So, unlike a standard heat pipe, which just carries heat away in a tube, a vapor chamber uses phase transition over a big flat area. It literally sucks the heat right off the hot components. Yes, the fans are incredibly loud, but that choice means the GPU almost never throttles. It lets it crush desktop benchmarks from just a year or two ago.
But the truly unique thing, the thing that makes it a command center, is the expandability.
Oh, absolutely. This is the only laptop on our list with four RAM slots. You can put up to 128 gigs of memory in this thing, and it has three separate SSD slots. For some professionals, that's just non-negotiable. Think 3D renderers in Vancouver or, engineering teams in Abu Dhabi processing huge data sets in the field. They need that.
The catch, and it's a big physical one, is the power brick alone weighs 1 kilogram. You literally need a separate piece of luggage for this. And the price, you're looking at about $5,300 to start.
View.
Okay, so we've seen the raw power of the Titan, but what if you want that kind of performance, but in a package you can actually, pull out in a meeting? That brings us to the premium choice,
Yeah.
the Razer Blade 18, the 2025 revision. This is for the boardroom gamer.
Yeah, Razer has always been called the Apple of gaming, right? That precision CNC milled aluminum chassis. But what's really interesting is that they finally listened, years of complaints, and they finally solved their biggest aesthetic flaw: fingerprints. The 2025 version has this new anti-fingerprint coating that actually works.
Okay, looks aside, what really pushes the Blade into the top tier is the screen.
Oh, it's a huge win for immersion. Razer locked down the world's first 18-inch OLED 240Hz panel from Samsung Display. It's an exclusive for the first 6 months. I mean, for atmospheric horror games or space sims, that true black, infinite contrast, it's just unbeatable.
And they also future-proofed the connectivity like crazy.
They did. The inclusion of Thunderbolt 5 is huge. It gives you 80 gigabits per second of bidirectional bandwidth. To put that in perspective, older standards would start to choke if you plugged in too many displays. With this, you can run 3, 4K high refresh rate monitors without breaking a sweat. It's the ultimate desk setup.
But the trade-off here is the infamous Razer tax. You're paying, what, a $500 premium for the brand and the build?
About that, yeah. And that beautiful metal body gets really hot to the touch under load. It's just a side effect of trying to keep it so thin. It starts around $4,500.
All right, next up. If all your gaming time is spent in competitive arenas, there's the esports specialist, the ASUS ROG Strix SCAR 18. This one is built from the ground up for the CS2, Valorant, or Call of Duty player.
ASUS went for a really aggressive cyberpunk look here. The keyboard deck is actually semi-translucent, so you can see the motherboard traces and capacitors underneath. It just looks fast, which is fitting because speed is the whole point.
And its main feature is all about shaving milliseconds off your reaction time.
Yeah, if you are serious about competitive shooters, the screen is everything. The ROG Nebula HDR display has an industry-leading 480Hz refresh rate. It's a level of motion clarity that almost completely eliminates blur. It gives you a real, if maybe slight, advantage in those high-stakes moments.
480Hz, that is just absurdly fast. I mean, who actually needs that? How much of an advantage does that really give you?
It's definitely in the realm of diminishing returns past 240Hz, but for players who demand absolute perfection, it's the peak. And to support that, ASUS has gone to some pretty aggressive lengths to manage heat. They use Conductanaut Extreme Liquid Metal on both the CPU and the GPU.
Okay, wait, can you break down Conductanaut Extreme Liquid Metal for us?
So it's a thermal material, basically. It's an alloy of gallium and indium. It is so much more effective at transferring heat than regular thermal paste. It lets the chips boost higher for longer. The catch is it's electrically conductive. So if you spill even a tiny drop during application, the whole laptop is dead. It's a risk, but ASUS is taking for max performance. And their software, Armory Crate, is probably the best for letting you manually control the fans to manage that risk.
And the critical drawback, the sort of manufacturing lottery for this $3,900 machine, is the dreaded coil whine. Some units have that high-pitched electrical buzzing sound when they're running at those crazy high frame rates. It's a real annoyance. Okay, that was the heavyweight 18-inch class. Now we're shifting gears into a different kind of arms race. Segment 2, innovation and portability. The focus here is less on raw size and more on clever, maybe even impossible engineering.
And the absolute poster child for that this year is the Lenovo Legion 9i Gen 10.
When I first read about this in the source material, I had to stop and read it again. They fit a self-contained liquid cooling pump inside the laptop chassis. No external tubes, no dock, just a tiny loop that kicks on when the VRAM hits 84 degrees Celsius. That sounds impossible.
It really is an incredible feat of miniaturization. The goal isn't just to cool the GPU chip, but to cool the VRAM, the video memory itself. That's often the part that overheats first under heavy load. By having this little loop only activate when needed, they get incredible thermal regulation without the constant weight of a bigger system.
But that kind of cooling has always added a ton of weight. How did they do it without turning the Legion into another MSI Titan?
A lot of it comes down to the materials they used on the outside. The top cover is forged carbon. So instead of a single piece of aluminum, it's basically crushed carbon fiber that's pressed into shape. It's lighter than aluminum, super strong, and it creates this unique marble pattern. No two Legion laptops look exactly the same.
So it's an engineering challenge on the inside and the outside. And of course, it has its own AI brain managing everything.
That's the dedicated LA3 AI chip. So while the main 5090 has its MPU for background stuff, the LA3 chip does one thing. It dynamically shifts wattage between the CPU and GPU depending on the task. Wow. Running a simulation, power goes to the CPU. Loading textures, it all shifts to the GPU instantly. And the end result of all that engineering is that the Legion 9i is the coolest running laptop in this entire high-end class.
The catch, and it's purely ergonomic, is that to make room for all that cooling hardware, they had to shift the keyboard down. And for some users, that really messes with the trackpad position. It can feel a bit awkward. The price point is around $4,200 US. Okay, finally, let's talk about the machine that's actually for the digital nomad or the student who has to move. I remember hauling an 18-inch laptop through airport security once. My back still hurts thinking about it. 1.5 kilograms sounds like a dream.
And that brings us to the Asus ROG Zephyrus G14. This is, without a doubt, the king of the 14-inch category. It's the perfect blend of power and portability, and it's been refined this year with the more elegant slash lighting on the lid. The balancing act it pulls off is just incredible.
How incredible are we talking compared to the 5-kilo command centers we started with?
The total weight is 1.5 kilograms. That is just mind-bogglingly light for a machine that can run modern AAA games. It has a gorgeous 3K OLED, 120Hz screen, so the visual quality is right up there with the bigger models.
But there has to be a GPU trade-off, right? There's no way they can cool a 5090 in that chassis.
Exactly. It tops out at the RTX 5070 GPU. Mm-hmm. 5080 and 5090, they just generate too much heat for that small frame. But the 5070 is still a beast. The main pro here is just pure portability. It fits in any bag, and because the OLED screen is so power efficient, the non-gaming battery life is actually good. We're talking 8+ hours. This is the perfect coffee shop or lecture hall laptop. And it starts around $2,200.
Okay, we've covered the machines. Now we need to talk about a dedicated battle that's happening across this lineup. Mini LED versus OLED. This is segment 3, and the screen you choose really dictates your experience just as much as the GPU does.
It's a clear split. The two more portable machines, the Razer and the Zephyrus, they went with OLED. The two pure performance machines, the MSI Titan and the SCAR, they favored mini LED. And the choice really comes down to where and what you play.
So for you listening, what's the actual difference? Which one should you choose?
You should choose OLED. If you mostly play single-player story games, watch a lot of movies, or do color-critical design work, the benefit is that infinite contrast. When a pixel is black, it's truly off. The depth you get in a game like Alan Wake 2 is just unbeatable. The risk, though, it's still there.
Mm.
A slight risk of burn-in if you leave static things like a HUD on the screen for 10 hours a day for weeks.
And what if you're a competitive player like the SCAR is built for, or you just work in a really bright office?
Then you go with mini LED. The big advantage here is brightness. These panels get way brighter than OLEDs. We're talking over 1,000 nits peak brightness. That's crucial in a well-lit room, and it makes HDR content like explosions really pop. And crucially, mini LED has zero risk of burn-in, which is why the manufacturers building tanks like the MSI Titan stick with it.
Excellent breakdown. Okay, finally, before we wrap up, let's talk about the buying reality. Segment 4, the global shopping guide. These laptops are a massive investment, and how you actually buy one can vary wildly depending on where you live.
Yeah, this is so important. Knowing how to save some money or protect your purchase. Let's start with the UAE, specifically Dubai, which is a huge retail hub.
So if you're a tourist in Dubai, there's the tourist hack.
Right. You buy your laptop from a major registered store, like Virgin Megastore or Schraff DG. Then you can reclaim about 85% of the 5% VAT tax at the airport before you fly home. On a $5,000 laptop, that's hundreds of dollars back in your pocket. It's a big discount.
And the local secret?
The local secret is to go to the Al Ain Center, or Computer Plaza, in Bur Dubai. It's the gray market hub. If you bring cash, you can negotiate prices down, you can find US spec models with maybe a better keyboard layout, and haggle for free stuff. But you have to be ready to bargain.
Okay, let's cross the globe to North America, the US and Canada. Here, timing is everything.
It is. Since this deep dive is coming out right before the holidays, our sources all say you have to wait for Boxing Day, December 26th. That's when retailers like Best Buy and Canada Computers drop prices to clear out inventory. That's your window.
And what about protecting your purchase for dead pixels and things like that?
In the US, Micro Center's in-store replacement plans are legendary. They're just fantastic. For online buyers, Amazon's standard 30-day return window is your main safety net. Use it if you have any quality control issues.
Okay, last stop, Europe, Germany, and the UK.
Yeah, first thing to know is the price sting. EU prices include a high VAT, like 19 or 20%. So that $4,000 laptop in the US might be 4,800 euros in Germany, once tax is included.
But you get a huge advantage in consumer rates.
A massive one. The EU mandates a 2-year warranty on all electronics. That's double the standard 1 year you get in the US and the UAE. And that 2 years of peace of mind is an immense benefit when you're buying something this complex and expensive.
Okay, we have covered the entire 2025 landscape. From the Monster Titan to the tiny G14, it's time for the final verdict. If money is no object, you just need absolute max performance for work and play. The winner is still the MSI Titan 18 HX Pro. It's the most powerful portable computer ever made.
For sure.
If you need that prestige, that incredible display, and you want it to look good, the style and substance winner is the Razer Blade 18. performs like a beast, looks like a tuxedo. And for the true traveler, the one your back will thank you for, the Asus Zephyrus G14, it's still the perfect blend of power and weight.
Yeah. And if we connect this all back to the bigger picture, these machines, with their internal liquid cooling, their custom AI chips, that conductive liquid metal, they are just orders of magnitude more complex than anything we've seen before. I mean, we heard the Titan described as less of a laptop and more of a portable command center. And it just raises a question for you listening.
Yeah.
In this relentless race for absolute power, is the high-end gaming laptop maybe sacrificing true field-ready durability? Is it becoming too complex, too fragile for the very digital nomad it's trying to serve? Something to think about before you put one of these $5,000 marvels on your credit card.
That is a fantastic question to end on. Thank you for joining us for the deep dive. We'll catch you next time.